retarded level, being experimented because they happened to not be like other people in an institution where parents had put them to be protected. The kind of insensitivity I hear today, I heard some leading scientists say, we have to have euthanasia. Oh, no. Oh, no. Who's going to decide who and when a person's going to die? We must never allow that, because this is the kind of thing that ushers in the terror of a Hitler's Germany. We must not allow these kind of things to enter our consciousness.
Peace. Peace.
I think that the worst problem, it all boils down to the love of money is the root of all evil. And we have a great deal of that today. We put priorities of space so we can show our machismo compared to other nations, rather than do something about the poverty that is reeking at our very doors in every city. The centralization of wealth, when people even of the lower middle class cannot even afford proper medical treatment. We read, I think, in one of the leading magazines, Times or Newsweek, in the last few days about doctors, a doctor team that had a deeper conscience than most, and they went into just an area, just picked at random an area of New York, and a better, more privileged area, and they found people, not poor black, but average white senior citizens, dying or dead in their chair from malnutrition. Oh, there are many things in our society that need to be corrected. And I think the first thing, it goes back to the ancient Judeo-Christian principle. There is a love of money in this land, a love of materialism that alienates us against everyone. We'll even let our children be sacrificed. I read an article this morning that psychiatrists said they didn't know what was going to happen to the boys in American homes if the father wasn't in the home more. And yet the almighty dollar and the pressure of the high cost of living causes dad to be absent nearly 95% of the time. You ask me a great question, my brother. I say the household of America is in danger. It's a gifted people. If the media would spend more time showing what brotherhood can achieve and would show and feature some of the wonderful things that are being done in society, groups that are getting together out of every walk and lifestyle, but instead of parading violence and sensationalism and oftentimes just expose stories that don't have a ground of evidence in them. That's why we must be very careful not to indict people just because they have been supposedly convicted in the media are charged with things. I know a man that committed suicide because the press charged him with a crime that he did not commit, and it was later proven that he didn't. We ought to get busy trying to show some of the good features of America. Now, America has something in the substratum that's very good. Deep down in the core of the American psyche is a lot of value. For instance, in Los Angeles, where only a minority of the people are black, they elected a black mayor. But we have pretty good press here. Why don't we encourage the press and encourage it by your getting involved? You should get involved as citizens and write to protest evil and promote good so that the press will feel that the people want to hear something about goodness and love and the things that are being done to help people in the land. I don't know whether I answered your question or not. Yes, young lady. Wait till the microphone, please.
I was wondering how you view the people, the types of people that comprise this work, and how you think they view you or see you in the church or in the community.
How do I view the people that comprise this work? Well, I view them as human beings from a cross-section of every kind of lifestyle. And people view me in a myriad of ways. Some people see me as the representative of the I Am, as Jehovah Jireh. Some people see a great deal of God in my body.
They see Christ in me, a hope of glory.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
And it does fabulous things. I look down and I see one of our sisters here who's 97 years young, and she's now active in one of our self-managing, very innovating geriatric homes. She cooked, but she was an invalid on her back when she came. And now she cooks because volitionally she wants to, and she's very able. Stand up, Sister Ever, 97 years young. And she said, I remember her saying, she saw me to be the hundredfold of God. She saw God in me. And if you look at her, she's done pretty good, because what she sees, she's reproduced in herself. Because very few people could cook as good as she does. She cooks wonderful lemon pies, and she's 97 years, and you never ate such lemon pies as she cooks. Thank you, Sister Ever. And the lady behind her also saw me in that consciousness, who owns a rest home. She was crippled with arthritis and had to spend out about $13 a week or so. And the moment she came to me, that all stopped. Now I'm speaking one level. Then some see me as a humanitarian. There are agnostics here who just see me as humanitarian. They're here because we've championed the civil liberties movement throughout the entire history of our church. Ooh. Some came to me because I adopted many children of all races and ethnic backgrounds, and they have exemplified that. And believe me, we don't put any kind of restraint on people. We believe by their fruits shall you know them. Jesus said, "You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears." Now, I have a whole group of Mohammedans here in this church. Our church constitutes over 10,000 active members. And those Mohammedans, they love their brothers, they love their sisters. And the scripture says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another." And said, "Whosoever loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So if those Mohammedans fill all that, and they do beautifully, they see Allah in me, and they seem to be reproducing the God of Allah, love, in their own lives. I have a host of Jewish people, Jewish doctor, Jewish professor sitting down there, who lost 60 of his relatives in Hitler's Germany, and he was touched about our concern for civil liberties. Later he received a great healing in his body. But that's not why he's here. He's not here because I'm a son of God or even a minister. He's here because I believe in freedom for all people. Peace. 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 And I see another Jewish brother who is in charge of a very exceptional home for children. And again, he received healing of a stomach condition, but he did not come for healing. He came because we had done a great work for peace, and that we believe in nonviolence, and that we oppose the rise of totalitarianism, whatever its name, be it fascism or communism. We are not interested in any kind of oppressive systems. We want our liberty, or we want death. Peace. Peace. Peace, peace, peace. So people come to me for various reasons. I have reached people in my classroom where I'm a school teacher. I served as a school teacher for many years. I reached one of my members as a foreman of the grand jury. I reached one person because of the treatment that I gave in a riot, because I stood up for those that needed peace and needed justice. I received one lady here because I took in her stray cats. She had 30, and she came to me and found that I had 50, and I still took her extra cats. You see, I've got people who see me on every kind of level. And whosoever loveth, if people are kind and gentle, and they practice the great ethics of the Judeo-Christian tradition, are the ethics of love general, They're welcome in here. These doors are open to everyone that loves. And I should say, these doors are welcome to everyone who are trying to love. Because most of us are just getting to know a little bit about love. And how do I see my people? I see my people as my brothers and my sisters. I see them as a people who are going to live in peace, in quiet resting places. I see my people, I have a visualization, and I'm often told by even people in psychological backgrounds that the things you visualize, you're quite likely to materialize. So I see health in my people. I see joy in my people. I see my people all as one. We have doctors in this room. We have lawyers. We have an assistant district attorney. We have a person that owns a hospital. We've got farm laborers. We've got people who work the great fields, like this sister who was healed of a terminal disease, sitting right down here, given up to die. This sister, one of my best members. And in this church, there's no class, creed, racial consciousness. We are one! Is there another question? Is there another question? Yes. Excuse me for drinking so much water. If you lift your hand, the ushers are instructed to have water for you because I never feel free to take water. These lamps are extremely warm. So if you want water, ushers, I think today, because of the television, they didn't bring the water. But let's be at home. We always have water in the aisle, so let's go and get the water so that people can drink freely. Mm-hmm. Yes, dear.
I'd like to know, what do you see as being the greatest achievement in your healing and miracle ministry?
The greatest achievement? That healings turn people on to social action. Peace. That isn't to minimize these healings as ends in themselves. But we're even hoping to be able to establish a medical clinic. Some of the doctors who are attending, we are trying to encourage them to establish clinics for the very impoverished. We do not see ourselves as a panacea. A man who thinks that he has, or a woman that thinks that they have all the answers, is a fool. And we feel that we must enter this spiritual healing realm because many fanatics are in it, who want money for Cadillacs, which I don't own, or new suits, which I don't own. Strangely enough, this suit that I have on today doesn't belong to me. It's borrowed because they wanted me to look nice before TV. Peace. Peace. As you know, you've never seen me in a suit customarily, because we just tend to be common folk here. And we are certainly not minimizing healing, but it's a murky field. Many people who are in the spiritual healing ministry cause me great consternation because of their presumptuousness to tell people don't go to doctors, or to say if you don't have faith to get healed, you are sinning. That's ridiculous. This is a really beautiful field, and it's somewhat of an unknown variable, and that to such a degree that people should not be so presumptuous as to say how one gets healed or why people don't get healed. This is very arrogant. And that reason, I don't like being in the field. But I found out that I can practice spiritual healing through this Christ love greater than anyone I've seen lately. And I want to be able to do it because I will point people, as I do you, to get your regular 6-month medical checkups, don't I? When you get healed, I tell you to go right to the doctor and get it confirmed. And I feel if the ecumenical church, we belong to a very orthodox denomination of a million and a half members approximately, that usually do not practice spiritual healing, and I'm ordained in that denomination. But I feel if the established churches, the traditional faiths, be they Jewish or Christian or non-Christian, if they don't enter into the healing phase, then it's going to be turned over to the radical fanatics who will just pocket wealth and drive around in fine cars and luxurious living, and the people will be deprived not only of judgment, but of their money serving them. Now, in this church, what have we done in a short time? We have 4 senior citizen homes that are the most innovating, the most beautiful you want to see. Now, my home is stone block, and there's not a piece of new furniture in it, but our senior citizen homes, they're elegant. We have 2 convalescent centers where people can come, though we don't have in all of our membership 1 person that's in the convalescent center because none of our people are on the flat of their back yet. And that's beautiful. They keep moving. And then we have a children's home, 40 acres of that. And we have 109 students under scholarship. 2 of our sons, just a few days ago, we sent them to medical school. And their minds were destroyed by drugs until they came to us. Both of minority backgrounds, 1 a Jewish young man, and both of them from bad, bleak circumstances. And now they're making straight honor grades. And they're going to come out of medical school, they said in their last letter, which I read here Thursday night, to set up a free clinic to serve the people that really have need. That's wonderful. We have our dormitories for this education. As I said, 109 students under partial or complete scholarship that our church supports. Instead of supporting us in a fine car out there, I don't own a car personally, but we have fine buses to get us on a vacation. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. in a few days and see our congressman. We're going to take a tour of the nation. When I take a vacation, all of our people take a vacation. We have a community center with an indoor swimming pool. We have so many things that I could not mention. Now, this is the way to see healing utilized for the glory of God and the glory of man. I could mention a lot of individual healing. Sister Cunningham that was paralyzed, that's in the choir and now healed. It's beautiful to see this. As I said, the ones that are in the wheelchairs that have now come out, some of them given up. 1 of a terminal malignancy, a Jewish doctor, a Jewish lawyer here, and the wife of a district attorney. She had a disease that medical science purportedly could not reach, but now she's completely healed. All of these healings in themselves are wonderful, and we're grateful for them, but if they do not lead to greater action and deeper experience and contribution to society, I think that would be somewhat in vain. Thank you. I think I've belabored that too long. And I think that's perhaps enough questions. Is there anything that the people from the film company would like to ask? That's a nice sign you give us, peace. That's a universal sign, and everybody wants that, don't they? Peace. I think that there are now going to be some testimonies given publicly, were they? I see a little agenda that you have now written up here. So if you want some testimonies, whatever you wish to do, let us be happy in the presence of God. And God is in each of us. Christ is in each of us, the hope of glory. So let's enjoy that presence. Stand and let's sing another song, Brotherhood is Our Religion. This is a song that I composed and I like it. Brotherhood is our religion. For democracy we stand. We love everybody. We need every hand. It's based on the Constitution and it certainly is God's command. For these are the rights we adore. What are they now? They are liberty.
whoever wants to testify.
Yes, they asked those that are coming to testify to wait before you speak. Well, how are they going to? You give them a signal or something? Then we wish to go on with our service, if we might. We have business matters to take care of. Are you going to have some discussion outside with some of you? Fine. Have I given you enough of a demonstration of spiritual healing? All right, fine. You're the only group I've ever allowed this, because I've seen some people that they wanted to focus in on our people when they were enjoying themselves, and I've watched you. You're very responsible people, and we appreciate that, because I feel religion and ideas, the form of ideas, is one's God-given right, or an inherent right if one doesn't choose to believe in God. And I don't think that I'd never let an invasion of a religious assembly take place, so you're the first group that's ever been allowed to do so. One group came once, they had their cameras all set up, and they focused in on a little black lady that didn't happen to be dressed just as well as another, and she was dancing, and I said, get your cameras moving, and they moved in 5 minutes.
When I first heard of People's Temple, I was told about a man who cared for all people. And having been a school teacher for about 10 years and just completely divorcing myself from anything religious for over 15 years, I was reluctant to go, but I did come. And I was amazed at what I saw here. Pastor Jones called me out and told me that my life was in great danger. He gave me specific things that I might do to save myself from destruction, and I did them, skeptically, but I did them. And I thank God that I did them, because when I was attacked by a very drugged maniac who jumped into my car quite as a shock to me, I was able to think back and remember the things that Pastor Jones had told me. And instantly, when I told him these things and did what he said for me to do, he ran away. He ran away from me. I'm just so grateful I'll never leave this place.
When I first came here to Pastor Jim Jones, I had an arthritic back. It was so bad that my life was a series of experiences of pain. Every day seemed to me to be an agony just to get through my day's work. And I came to church one day, and Pastor Jim called me out. And he told me the name and address of a man who I'd known long ago. I couldn't even hardly remember. Somebody who's a witness in a lawsuit. And he told me many, many other things about my life. He told me things that no human being in an ordinary state of consciousness could possibly know. And even though I was a lawyer, and even though I'm a skeptic, I had to be convinced, because what's real is real, and what I could see, I could see. And then he told me about my back. And he told me about all the treatments I'd had and how they hadn't worked. And then he reached out his hand and he said, in the name of Christ, you're healed, and my pain was gone. And now, a year and a half later, it's still gone, and I praise God for that.
When I found People's Temple, I was doing social work, and I was pretty desperate and very frustrated because of my inability to affect any real kind of change in a world that was so filled with desperate and lonely people and filled with so much injustice. My father was an ordained minister and a professor at a seminary, and despite this fact, I had long ago left the organized church because I didn't see it really facing the critical issues of our time. But when I found Jim Jones, when I found the community that he's built, I found one who has affected so much change
He's succeeded in uniting people of all racial, social, and economic backgrounds into a strong community of Christian believers. People who are really dedicated to living out the Christian ethic that they've been taught so long. And I've been just amazed by the profound miracles that I've seen here, because this was foreign to my own religious background. I'll never forget Sister Farrell of Stockton, who suffered such a painful back injury that the doctors had to put her in a 47-pound traction around her neck. She was unable to use her arms or her legs. She had to take up to 8 codeine pills a day. So painful was her back injury. But when Jim Jones sent out the Spirit of God to her and divine compassion, she was instantly healed, instantly. I thank God for that. Today, she does not need medical treatment. She takes no medicines, and she has complete usage of her arms and her legs. I thank God for the messenger that we have in Pastor Jones today.
You know, only a few years ago, living in Los Angeles, I had a very good-paying administrative job. And I was indulging myself only, just me. We had a home, a new car, we traveled a lot, all the conveniences, ate lots of steaks, and friends. And I wondered. I looked around and I saw a distrustful society. I saw poor people and war and brothers fighting against brothers. And then one day I heard Jim Jones speak. Now the truth has a twang to it. It makes you wonder what you can do that's meaningful. And his love and understanding brought me here to this family. And we all live in peace with each other. There is no conflict among us.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
And every day, miracles are wrought in each service, each day, through the power of love.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
I've seen the blind made to see, the deaf made to hear, cripples set aside their crutches and walk. The needy are clothed here. The hungry are fed. Life is so beautiful here. Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will be crowned with glory. That fadeth not away.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
Today, here, now, in our little family, and our large family, in fact, we know where the chief shepherd is. His good works are manifested by People's Temple and Jim Jones. Praise Him. Praise God. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
My name is Jeanette Kearns, and I'm being supported by this church here to attend college. And before I came to this beautiful Christ work here, I was on drugs. I was taking LSD, marijuana, every type of dope you can imagine. And plus, I had epilepsy. I had terrible seizures, continuous. And I was having to take medication, plus I was just doing all sorts of terrible things to myself. And I was 3,000 miles away in Florida. And Pastor Jim Jones called my mother out, who had terminal cancer. He healed her of terminal cancer, but also he told her of me, who was in Florida, 3,000 miles away, and told her of my condition. And I don't know if you've ever seen a person who has these terrible seizures. I would bite my tongue. Sometimes I'd have to go to the hospital. And this can be proven by Letterman General Hospital, which I spent over a month in here in San Francisco before I went to Florida. And he called her out and told her my condition and healed me. And in Florida, all of a sudden, I didn't have these seizures anymore. I couldn't understand it. It was something else. Nothing. I'm really grateful because that Christ spirit that was working through our pastor, Jim Jones, healed me. And I never knew anything. I wasn't going to church, and I didn't believe in anything, just my dope, what I was experiencing. And I'm really grateful because without this church, without our pastor, Jim Jones, to teach me the right way, I would not be in college right now. I wouldn't be having a wonderful, leading a life like I am because of Pastor Jim Jones. And how many of you in here have been healed of arthritis, cancer? How many of you in here? That's right. So many of you. I'm grateful, and I know everyone else is here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
When I first came to the church, I was an atheist. I had worked working in the field of law enforcement, and I had to be convinced. I had to have the facts. And when I attended the healing services and saw these beautiful miracles that happened undoubtedly at every service, my idea of God and how He works changed. I myself was healed of a kidney problem that I'd had since I was a child. And my mother had taken me to so many specialists that I was not only losing faith in medical science, but I was resigning myself to always having this condition with me. And it was at the very first healing service that I attended that Pastor Jones called me out personally. And he told me not only things of my life, but he also told me thoughts of my mind, things I hadn't even verbalized to anyone. And he spoke the word of healing of God and sent relief to my body. And instantly, I felt a warmth across my back. And I've never been bothered with that kidney problem since. And I thank you. Thank you, God. But I think something equally important with these beautiful healings is the vast human service ministry of People's Temple. Through Jim's example of deep love and concern for all people, our church has set up numerous programs and facilities to help other people in all areas of need. Yes. Pastor Jones exhibits such a great God-giving force, and he never uses it for his own advantage. He always uses it for good. As long as I've been here, 4 years I've been here, I have never seen him do one selfish act. He never even eats until he knows all his people have been fed. He makes sure that we all have a ride home from each church service. He never takes one moment to think of himself. His constant concern is for others. And now he's causing thousands of people to take up and follow his Christ-like lead. And go on to make this a better world. I'm so grateful to be a part of this church, and I thank God for Jim Jones.
I would just like to testify to something incredible that happened in my life. I was driving along a four-lane highway at 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, my steering wheel started to jump around in my hand and began to boggle, and I began to lose control of my car, and I was traveling at a very, very fast rate of speed, 65 miles an hour. As I lost control, the tire blew out. And instantly, I thought of the Christ force of our pastor, Jim Jones, and a way was made. Thank you, Jesus. A way was made. There was a great deal of traffic. And instantly, just thinking on Christ and our pastor, a way was made. And I was able to safely go to all the way over to the right, to the shoulder of the road, where there was safety. When I took the car in to the garage, the garage man shook his head, and he just didn't understand how a tire whose wall was entirely blown out, this was a radial tire, the wall of it was entirely blown out. He said he didn't understand how all of the traffic that I was in, how dozens of cars weren't messed up in a terrible tragedy. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be alive in this ministry that has done so much for me. Thank you.
I see that there is something here that's requested that I could not accommodate, and that would be to give out food. Someone has recommended this. We would never be able to distribute food in front of a TV, and it isn't the television people that have asked this, I'm sure. This must be an idea of someone here. We would not do that. The food that's here is for distribution, but we do not do that publicly. Some of this food is now directed towards an Indian reservation that has been in dire need. And we give this kind of help constantly. We have free legal services. We have a ministry. You name it, we have it. Clothing, commissary, food commissary, animal shelter. I suspect the most extensive animal shelter in Northern California. At least it's been reported to be. And we give the most exemplary kind of care, according to many veterinarians. We have, a little fellow here I thought it might be of interest to you, that I saved from being in an unnecessary experiment. His name is Mr. Muggs. Where is he? Where's Mr. Muggs? Come on and see me, Muggs. Wow! Come. He's a part of our congregation. He claps and he worships. He talks to me. We have our own little language. He's so sensitive. And I think we need to be concerned about the treatment of animals because, you know, it's so easy. We step from the treatment, the adverse treatment of animals. To us in raising him. You want to say something to the public? Wow. He says he's not used to television.
All right.
He says I'm not used to
television. All right.
about all of it.
And in each service, we... Wow. Right. They're not... I think he's a little conscious of these maybe being weapons. Interestingly enough, if anyone moves in my direction, he automatically attacks unless I stop him. I've got... If people won't stand by me, the chimpanzees will. It's wonderful. In each service, we also, every service, distribute animals, cats, dogs, the unwanted. We, the mixed people. That's what I am, mixed with everything under the sun. So the little alley cats and the alley dogs. I'm an alley human, and I feel very much for these animals. In every service, we give them out, distribute them, and before we do, we have them properly inoculated from the ordinary diseases, against the ordinary diseases, and we see that they're neutered. And I could not tell you the thousands of animals that we reach every year. So, and then we've taken in hosts of beautiful children, which I do not wish to single out, of every ethnic background. We not only support our own denominational welfare services, but we've supported Jewish welfare services, the welfare services of many other groups. And then we have perhaps 80 children that had the worst kind of background you can imagine environmentally. And now they are children in our jurisdiction. They have guardianship. They're in homes, adopted, been given homes in the past few months, about 80, I think. So we're very thrilled that we have a... practical religion, and that's what we need more of. Practical. I think now, if you feel that you have what you need, you may retire to go. Where are you going to go for the other testimonies and interviews? You said they wish to interview other people, the staff? All right, if you would, so that we can go on with the service then. We've been very thrilled having you. Everyone give them a good hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I built this for you, and I understand that there are some guests with you. If you'll step over, they'll get ready to make... some refreshments available to you. You've been very patient to sit. We've got a long and enduring meeting to take place. Oh, not so much longer. Where is it going to take place? Clara, will you help here get them to the place where they turn the lights on? Give your neighbor a good kiss.
While I have the chance, may not have the chance anymore. Oh, I'm going.